Welcome to the Evolution of Medicine podcast, the place health professionals come to hear from innovators and agitators leading the charge. We cover the latest clinical breakthroughs in health technology, as well as practical tools to help transform your practice and the health of your community. Now here's your host, James Maskell.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This week we feature a medical student, Robert Abbott, who has put together an unbelievable resource for any practitioner all across the world who wants to learn about functional and integrative medicine for free. I had an opportunity to meet Robert at the Functional Forum in October in Washington, D.C., and he is out of Virginia. Over the last few months, he's been putting together this resource, and you will see that there's an opportunity for you to download it at goevomed.com/functional free. And if you go there, you'll be able to download the guide, and it's a really great resource. And so I think you're really going to enjoy this next half an hour. We'd love to hear your feedback and enjoy. So warm welcome to the podcast. Welcome, Robert.
Hey, how's it going?
Really well. I'm really, really excited about this week's podcast. I couldn't be happier to be bringing this kind of conversation and resource to our practitioner community. And, also just celebrating innovation and initiative and all the things that, we have been looking to infuse the functional medicine community with. So thanks so much for making time to be on the show.
No, thank you. Really, thank you for having me. It's kind of a blessing. I've really enjoyed seeing you guys grow and really focusing on the community and just getting to realize how much, how powerful initiating from the community level can really be when you want to make changes and help people with their health. So thank you for the space and for inviting me on.
Absolutely. So if you heard in the intro, Robert is a medical student and is passionate about integrative, functional, ancestral health. So let's just start there, Robert. You know, for everyone who's listening, how did you decide that this was something that you were going to be interested in? What made you go to medical school in the first place?
Yeah, so I was one of those quote-unquote really smart science kids in high school. No one in my family was really into medicine, no medical doctors anyway, and kind of found my way in college and actually kind of came out of some time that I spent with my grandmother as she was dying and on hospice care and really getting to spend some time with her and digging in with her pastor actually to a new spiritual level that I hadn't really ever entered and but kind of explored some of the sides of medicine. I was like, man, I really need to give this a shot. Let me practically go try to see if I can find a job and see if I enjoy medicine. And actually started working in an emergency room as a scribe, just sort of a glorified EMR writer, writing all the notes for the doctors, following them around in local community hospital, and loved it. I mean, just really took it on, enjoyed working with these physicians and really seeing people. But I kind of was quite disillusioned even at that younger age of family medicine being practiced in the emergency room. And so I knew emergency care wasn't the future for me, but maybe I'd find something in medical school. And so planted that seed and continued working all through college and was able to get into University of Virginia and start my training there. That was sort of my introduction.
Yeah. At what point in the journey did you sort of look at a different ideas of medicine? Because I know that for most people who go through medical school, it's pretty full on and you don't have a lot of time to really like think outside the box that you've been given. So what caused that thinking process?
Yeah, well, I have this concept of, some of us need to burn a little bit before we kind of see a light. And I burned quite a bit. I'd been a perfectionist for quite a long time and actually kind of reached a breaking point in February, 4 years ago, actually, to now. And I went to some idea and I was like, I'm doing pretty well in school, I'm pretty sure, but I don't have a life anymore. And I think I'm physically being broken, get that sort of medical student syndrome. You think you have everything that you're learning about. And so it was just spiritually disillusioned and I need to step away. I needed to get out of school. And she's like, well, I can, we can hold your spot. You can take a year off, pursue some healing, and come back. And it was in that year away that my life just totally transformed. I was actually part of an inpatient hospital as a patient and at a psychiatric hospital, I was receiving some just truly nourishing care. Our days were spent around spirituality, music therapy, art therapy, and we were learning about nutrition. I was exposed to mindfulness for the first time. It was they couldn't call it yoga, so they called it mindful stretching. And it just like, you know, it blew my world. It was the first time in like 5 years that I was not so anxious and agitated and jumping off the walls. And I, at the same time, started digging into podcasts. For whatever reason, I had never really heard of podcasts before then. And I come across guys like Chris Kresser. You know, I can't even remember the original name of his podcast. It was just in his early days. And, you know, maybe when Rob Wolf also had like truly six listeners. But I mean, you listen to one podcast and they have a guy on, and you just start listening to another one and you start reading. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, I'm at one time living this, I'm making these changes in my lifestyle, promoting and adopting a completely different exercise pattern, completely different nutrition pattern, and just learning about things. And I was like, how are we not learning about this in school? This is saving my life. And it seems so important, yet we haven't even touched any of these things in school. And there was a slight degree of betrayal. Like, are we being fed a wrong story or an incomplete story? And I realized, you know, I was going to have to pursue this myself if I really wanted this education. But I kind of found my own learning style, like amidst listening to this podcast, I was like, man, I'm an auditory guy. This is how I'm going to do school. So by the time I reentered school, I had a completely new mission. I had figured out how I learned, kind of broke things down, reorganized my life, but I made integrative and functional medicine a priority. And so I was following blogs, I was listening to podcasts, basically doing full-on school and, in my opinion, full-on informal functional medicine education at the same time, because I saw how valuable and really saw that was what I was going to be doing. That was going to be my future.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. Once you have that passion, you can find times in the day to listen, right? A friend of mine, Dr. Pedram Shoje, says, my ears have more free time than my eyes.
Yes, it is very true. And we'll, kind of speak to that a little bit later. But yes, oftentimes the auditory route is one we can consume a little more readily than with our eyes.
Absolutely. So, it's a great backstory. And look, I really appreciate you being vulnerable about your own, health things, because I think everyone comes into this this world with their own health things. And the cool thing is that story ends up being something that is a real asset to you as you try to connect with other people. The doctor who's been there is a lot more affable and a lot more trustworthy than the doctor who's just like talking a good game. And we're seeing that level of vulnerability from physicians being key in gaining trust and really facilitating behavior change. So I think it's going to be a powerful story. We're here today to talk about something that you've created, which is an incredible resource. So, maybe I could just have you talk about it in your own words. Why did you decide to come up with this functional integrated medicine resource? And how long have you been working on it? And what was your sort of intention with it at the beginning?
Yeah, it's hard to admit. I've probably been working on it for way too long. It was actually back in September, October, when I had a chance to meet you in DC with the forum, and I had just sort of started putting things together. But really, it kind of came out of this idea. I was getting questions, seeing patients and fellow students who were kind of amazed at the education and the integrative functional piece that I was bringing to the conversation. Like, where did you learn that? Where did you find time to even to get this? And I was like, well, this. And I was like, wait a minute, I need to just make one condensed resource. Can I give back to show people, direct them to where I went? Because, I did the whole rabbit hole thing, man. I went down, I saw, read everything, listened to almost everything out there, and some of it very helpful, some of it not so helpful, and really kind of realized I wanted to give something back to people so they could go and find for themselves, see there's so many options to get a quote-unquote informal free education in integrative and functional medicine, get that really foundational piece and complement whatever other training or education they're receiving. And for the, for students like myself, I mean, we have absolutely no time. There's no way, even if you feel that sense of kind of betrayal that you're not getting the whole education, you just don't have the time to go and find these resources. And so, I really wanted to just give something where people could go to, clinicians, patients, students alike, where they could find and see blogs they could read, podcasts they could listen to, and gateways into conferences and trainings where they could expand their education.
Absolutely. It's interesting because, we're moving from this time where everything was protected. People want to protect their IP at all costs, to like this new world where people are just trying to get as much attention as possible for their brand through making things available for free. So, do you think the average medical student or even the actual average doctor is aware of the wealth of free training that's available out there?
To be honest, I would say they aren't. I mean, I'm quite a bit on an island where I'm at the University of Virginia. It's a wonderful hospital system, some really great people, and I've been blessed with the education experience to see quite complex patients and great hospital medicine. But sometimes I do feel a little bit on an island with some of my ideas, and I can see some of the residents just like dying for something else. They're just getting crushed by long hours and EMR systems, and you know, they're dying. And I've come across, you know, many people in my rotations, and I drop a little seeds here and there, and they kind of perk up. They're like, wait, what was that you were just talking about? And so unfortunately, yes, people don't quite understand what else is out there because they have no margin. You know, when I talk about residents, but other people, there's such little margin to go exploring. And we are inundated by distractions nowadays. We are just filled with too much information, and we are forced to have to say no more often than we really should. And so this is just, like I said, another way to kind of help people who don't have that margin and realistically don't realize what else is out there for them.
So who do you think that this resource is going to be a great fit for?
Yeah, so I mean, the first people that came to mind was, yes, I'm a student. So I was like, well, I want to get this to students. Just as you know, you created your book and, you know, unbelievably gave it away for free. And we're like, I want this on every single family practice, every doctor's desk. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to give it away because I think it's that valuable. I thought the same thing with students. I wanted to, you know, spam every medical student's inbox in America to say, hey, look, I honor and respect your education that you're getting, but it is incomplete. And I know you don't have the time and really no filter to know what's helpful. And so I want to give you this to guide your study. I also think it's incredibly valuable for clinicians. One, or for people just getting started who may have found one provider or started reading one blog and or maybe heard about the IFM, Institute for Functional Medicine, and just weren't entirely clear on the path that they could take to get a foundational education. And it can be a little intimidating when you see the price tags on some of the trainings and, oh, I need that in order to practice. Well, actually, no, what you probably need first is a foundational education and understanding, and then start to reflect on what's important to you and then sort of see broader scope where these trainings might fit in. So for, you know, clinicians in that scope, and also I see it for patients. You know, I have this idea, you know, patients relatively may have more time than, you know, clinicians and students. We all sort of, you know, kind of flounder and never having enough time, but they also don't have that filter that students kind of lack. And so, you know, wanting to give them, hey, here's a condensed resource. It's not exhaustive. It's not everything, but the most valuable. So if you want to go read about from clinicians, from people doing this type of medicine, whether or not it's your clinician itself, you know, your practitioner, these are places that I found to be the most scientifically rigorous, evidence-based, that you can follow and that are accessible. So it's not, we're not talking about medical language, medical jargon. It's accessible for you. And so, you know, between clinicians, patients, and students, I really think there's something here for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let me come back to something you said a minute ago, because I thought it was really interesting. Sort of, you learn how you like to learn, right?
Yes.
You realize that you're an auditory learner. Can you, you know, I know that you, in the resource, you've broken it down between podcasts, books, blogs, video. You know, what are your thoughts on how valuable it's been to find out that about yourself?
Yes, I mean, it's how I flourished in school. I mean, when I first started, I was, we get, you know, everything in our education now is actually electronic. It's amazing. We hardly had textbooks. And I was just flipping from screen to screen, reading. So many windows were open, and my mind was just scatterbrained. And I found that actually listening to podcasts and to, in our school, they record our lectures. And I didn't even, you know, I wasn't required to attend. So I could take the recorded lecture, go walk in the woods, be totally immersed in nature, come back to my room, sit down and handwrite out notes, go back through and highlight, and, you know, basically just combine, you know, for me, auditory, sort of kinesthetic and movement. I also, you know, flourished with group learning, but kind of just made my own learning style and found what was going to be helpful for me instead of just being so narrowed into, I have to read everything they've given me, or I can only stick with text resources. And so this resource speaks to that journey and that kind of freedom for you to discover there's not one single right way, and there isn't an only way to do this. And kind of, you know, blending in what you find is your cognitive or learning style.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's so important to see that, because, you know, I think that, you know, it's kind of an easy default to just go for a conference where it's delivered there, but it's also, like you said, expensive. You typically have to fly across the country. You're taking time away from either family or your job or your main source of income or something else that's valuable to you. And, you know, one of the reasons why we started the Functional Forum is because we saw that that was really the only way to get educated. And we wanted to bring the information that had been behind a paywall and make it free available to anyone, because I wanted to make sure that functional medicine and integrated medicine was something that people weren't learning. They had different reasons for not learning it, but the biggest reason was that they just never been exposed to it. And so the cost of giving a gift of a lecture by Jeff Bland or Kelly Brogan or Dr. Chatterjee or whatever was almost zero for our end. And, any number of people forever, a billion people could receive that gift at no extra cost. And I just felt like, look, this was something that really needed to happen. And it was been a fun process to go back and see that. As you've started to introduce some of these videos and concepts to, friends, students, other clinicians or otherwise, what's that process been like for you?
So, it's been interesting. I've mainly been working in two different arenas. So with fellow students, I've actually been quite involved with a group that brings in together nursing and medical students to cultivate self-care and resiliency. And so I've kind of gone more of the compassion and cultivating a spiritual depth to our practice and sort of seeing that there's more to medicine than just the books, just what we're learning, and really not kind of pushing any functional or integrative techniques, but kind of holding a very different space that, breaking spiritual bread with my colleagues outside of the book learning. On the other side, I've been very lucky to work with some local clinicians in Charlottesville, Virginia, who have adopted a holistic and functional approach. And so I've actually, it's funny, all of my free time, and I've been able to do electives as well, has been spent seeing patients in the clinic doing and working with a functional approach. So getting my hands wet with all of the diagnostic testing, working and seeing the ins and outs, seeing people from the beginning of their presentation to later on their progress. And I can't stress enough how important it is to have that bedside clinical education, both doing sort of traditional allopathic and functional medicine, in addition to the conferences, the training, the material. It can be easy to think that you are suddenly, you've become this clinician just because you read a blog or listen to a podcast. And we can't forget that there is such a utility in mentorship and clinical learning with other practitioners. And I think it's something that we've kind of gotten a little bit away from in functional medicine because it's so new. People are like, well, I'm just learning about medicine myself. How could I even teach? Or I have such a streamlined practice that I only have space for myself. And I would certainly urge all of us in this space to be educators, to be teachers, whether that's teachers to patients or teachers to other students. Because if we really want to make this movement forward, we have to educate the next generation, and we have to do it in a space that involves patients, like a clinical teaching, and not just the material, not just conferences.
Absolutely, yeah. One of the things that I've heard you talk about before is just the power of the group. And you said you like learning in a group format. One of the favorite things that I hear from the meetup groups is where they say, yeah, we watched the show, but then what I really enjoyed was the conversation afterwards, where you got to hear the content that we just watched, through many different people's eyes or ears. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, because I know that you've sort of had a group learning environment. And maybe you can just share with the people here, what are the trainings that you have taken?
Correct. So, I was quite blessed to be invited and received actually a scholarship to go to the Institute for Functional Medicine's foundational training, the AFMCP, this past Baltimore. And I mean, it was just a wonderful week. I mean, up to that point had kind of been knee deep in functional medicine from the informal side of things for 2-3 years. And so came in quite well versed, but just being there with other people so passionate wanting to get this education and seeing, I was calling some of them my mentors. I don't know if you have to actually, they need to know that you exist for you to call them a mentor.
No, it's fine.
getting to meet Dr. Jeffrey Bland and just some of these great speakers and learning from them, it was a blessing to be able to attend. And then just the follow-up afterwards, they have a couple of small groups sort of continuing beyond the conference and getting to do conference calls and being connected with people. And so that's been, was an incredible experience. I haven't been able to do any of the modules since then, but having that foundational piece has been wonderful. I spoke about being able to work with a very tight, close network of clinicians locally. That's also been a blessing, having some people that surround you who may not necessarily know completely the functional medicine side of things, but speak a very similar language about holistic health. And so that's been incredibly nourishing. And more recently, I've also been taking part in Chris Kresser, probably a pretty big name in the space. He has been launching his clinician training. And I think it was last year he had his first group. And I was blessed to kind of decide, hey, man, this is what I want to do. I need to make that investment and learn more from the business side of things as well. And was able to start his training last fall. And so I'm currently continuing his clinician training. And we just have a wonderful Facebook group. It's just a playground where everyone gets to put, you know, I need help with this patient, or here's this resource. Once again, just sharing so much and realizing that, you know, our life really isn't our own. We are here for such a greater purpose, and we need to share that in service of others. And so, yeah, all three of those things, I've been quite blessed to work in close community with like-minded individuals.
That's awesome. Yeah, so good. And I'm excited, you know, to see what that's going on. So, you know, obviously, what we're going to make available to everyone who's listening to this is your resources are going to be available to download, check out in the show notes at goevomed.com/functionalfree. That's functional free is going to be where you can download this resource for free and check it out. You know, I'd love to, you know, I know when we spoke together back in October, you know, we talked very briefly about this idea of the sort of the concept of threshold. And I put that in my book, like, you know, there's this threshold that I feel that we're going to hit a tipping point, and then this sort of threshold will be reached. And then we'll see the large scale adoption of functional medicine into the medical system for many reasons. One of which that, you know, the outcomes and the value of these kind of approaches to lifestyle driven chronic disease will just be obviously stronger. So, you know, I'd just love to get your thoughts on that from someone who's sort of beginning their training and, you know, seeing the other doctors around them, the future doctors around them. What do you feel that the future looks like from your perspective?
Yeah, it's something that really resonates in my heart as well. We've kind of been, you know, from when I first started medical school, I can remember our orientation. They gave us this wonderful analogy of the fire hydrant. And yes, school is going to be the fire hydrant that never stops. And guess what? You don't get to get out of the way. And, you know, a lot of that was true. I will give them credit. There was truth behind it. But the story they also didn't tell was that you need to, and we have things for you to help take care of you, to promote self-care. And ever since then, I've made it my mission to improve and change a culture where it's okay to be open. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to say, I need help. But also, it's not selfish to take care of yourself. It's almost cliche now to say, like, you need to take care of yourself before you take care of others. And within that movement, we've had that same saying of, what's the threshold? How many people need to buy in to what we're doing to just make it so that that stress bucket, that stress cloud over there, no longer dumps rain on everyone? And what is that, you know, final person? What's that level that we can get to where we can surpass all of that and really just make this a way of being? And so I've tried to embody that in both my work and my being. And I have this concept in imagery. Some of my friends, we share this with each other, and it's this idea of a cross. And many of us are aware that, you know, the cross has the two components. There's a vertical piece, which I see as our being, and a horizontal piece, which is our doing. That's kind of our, you know, whatever it is we're involved in, our school, our business, sort of the active doing world. And, you know, my idea is, how can we in our lives live at the intersection? So much of what we do is teetering on the ends of doing, or we dedicate to a specific mindfulness practice and in that being. But, you know, what if we lived our lives at the intersection and just existed in that state? That's how we're going to reach that concept of that threshold, that critical mass. And I've tried to embody that everywhere I've gone in the hospital. And so, you know, I plant seeds, whether it comes down to, you know, doing little talks on different rotations and just talking to residents, but simply trying to be at that intersection as much as I can.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And it fits in well with, you know, a lot of the concepts that we've talked about in the evolution of medicine with community and empowerment and, you know, sort of supporting the other people through the process. You know, there's this idea of that the first adopters need to be the next teachers. And I think that seems to be, you know, right in line with what you're doing.
Yes. You know, I think I would only be able to speak now because of the work that you guys and some of the giants in this field have done. I mean, I kind of like your idea of, you know, functional medicine 1.0 and 2.0, and, you know, maybe I hope to be part of 3.0 and 4.0, but we all have to make an investment to want to see a 3.0 and know that 2.0 isn't the end of the story, and willing to engage and to be wrong. I think it's something I found in traditional medicine. So many people are afraid to be wrong, to hurt someone, while the people in integrative sort of functional medicine are sometimes scared that they need to be perfect or they need to have it completely right. And I kind of remember going back to the beginning of the year, reading a post by Kelly Brogan, and her sort of New Year's resolution was like, I don't care about being right anymore. I just want to help relieve the world of suffering and try to avoid dogma and keep my windows, keep my views open. And so, you know, I think we need to sort of honor that and realize that by being on the cutting edge, we're going to make mistakes. But when we're presented with new evidence or with evidence against what we're doing, we have to be willing to change and not fall into the dogma and not be pursuing self-centered interest or getting stuck with practicing from a concept that has been proven false. And so all of that put together was a little bit of a ramble, but all that kind of put together is, I think, what we need to embody as people, clinicians, in this functional integrated medicine space.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I heard, you know, Charles Eisenstein has been a sort of a someone who we've looked up to a lot. And, you know, I loved his book last year, and, you know, he's spoken about community. But one of the things, you know, he says, one of the things that makes him excited and optimistic about the future is just seeing the way that young people are coming through today. And he's talking about young people like 5-year-olds, but also, you know, people like yourself who, you know, who are seeing things really quite clearly. And I've had, you know, tens of thousands of conversations with doctors and practitioners, you know, all across the country, all across the world, who are, you know, in this world trying to make it work. And, you know, I think some of the clarity you brought to that today is an example of that, where I think it's, you know, it's, I'm sure people might call it like idealistic or otherwise, but at the end of the day, you know, the self-actualization of these ideas is not that difficult. You know, building a practice today, a micro practice, a low overhead practice, you're coming into the medical world where suddenly you don't need as much stuff as you needed to practice 10 years ago. And so, you know, it may be idealistic in a certain level, but at the same time, the barriers to entry just got way smaller. I mean, the clinical barriers to entry through this resource that you're offering today is incredible. It means that anyone out in the world who has access to a computer can get a starting point of an education in practicing in a new way for free. And that's a ridiculous barrier, you know, that has been opened by everyone who's created the resources and has been sort of brought to focus in your piece, you know. But more than that is that, like, okay, well, what's the next step? And I think I see a nice, you know, congruence with my book where, okay, now you've got all the clinical information, let's make it as easy as possible to work out how to build a practice that can actually deliver this day to day. And I know hundreds of doctors who are 20 years older than you, 20 years older than me, who have yet to work that piece out. And so that's another thing that makes me optimistic for the future is there's this moment where the clinical information and the practical information and the steps are right at hand for anyone. And the barriers to running a successful functional medicine practice are reducing all the time in sort of exponential speed.
Yeah, it's funny, you stole the words. You must have been reading my mind. I mean, barriers to entry comes up in so many ways in my life. And I think that's how I approach my practice is, how can I remove the barriers to entry or barriers to someone's success? You know, asking them what's been hurting them, what's been helping them, but trying to remove the barriers to entry. And I agree, this sort of congruence of, you know, how to build a practice and here's your foundational, you know, clinical education, bringing that together and making it freely accessible. Like, this doesn't need to be, you know, just as we can't like make a living off of selling, oh, here's your exercise pill. Like, the lifestyle medicine is going to be free. You can't make a living off selling that. No, this just needs to be free. And, you know, I go back to, because it was early last year, the very first time I was ever able to actually work with a functional doctor in Pittsburgh, Carl Holzer, like, bless his heart. He was just like by himself, knees deep. I mean, just beginning. He'd been practicing for maybe 3 or 4 months. And he was just so scared. He was like, man, I'm learning on my feet. I feel like I'm like hurting patients. I don't even, like, I was a pediatrician for 25 years. I don't have any of the resources. I don't have the education. And then I come in and he's like, where did you come? What planet did you come from? Medical students don't know about this kind of stuff. And can you just take over my practice? You know more than I do. I'm like, no. You are the physician. You are the doctor. Let me just be a teacher and direct you. And so I almost can, you know, dedicate this to him. Thank you for kind of pushing me in this direction to create this resource and for seeing that, you know, we all need to be teachers and lifelong learners. And so we can only really do that by supporting each other in community. And yeah, Charles, I think Eisenstein makes it, he puts it most beautifully with his concept of gifts and stories. And I think, you know, we are tied together by these gifts and stories, and we just can't be afraid to share our gifts and listen, you know, truly listen to others' stories, acknowledging that we will need others in our journey and that we have something to provide to the community as a whole. And if we truly live that, you know, we will get to a place where we completely dissolve our idea of self. It just becomes like, I am one with this community. These are my talents. These are my gifts. I own them. I offer them. And I need help and the same gifts from others. And so it's just poetic. And, you know, I am a closet poet of sorts. And so I just, I love everything that...
I can feel that, and I can see that, and I think everyone else will as well. You know, this is really awesome. So, you know, this is a great gift that you've created, and it's cool that you and I get to work together to give this gift to as many people as possible. So, you know, as far as accessing the functional integrative medicine community as it is now, I got your back. We're going to send this out to everyone. And let's talk a little bit about who could get involved to give this gift. Because obviously, if you're a current functional and integrative medicine practitioner, maybe you want to give a gift that's free to, you know, to other providers. But I'd love to just talk a little bit about medical students, because I agree, like, I want my book in every, you know, in every medical student's hands. I know you'd want this resource in all of them. Let's talk specifically now to the people who are listening who might be in a position to actualize that. Either they're like, they have access to an internal email server where they can have 50,000 medical students at the same time, or whatever it looks like. You know, from your experience of being inside a medical school, where are the points of leverage in school and residency to, you know, reach more people?
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, this resource in giving it away for free, I've, you know, created it with the wonderful help actually of my brother. He was the brains behind some of the art and the photos, and we've made it. There's no copyright. It's totally for you guys to use. And all that I ask is that you keep it whole and share it with people, you know, giving credit to the creators and to the people within the resource, but there's no copyright. So in that sense, it is completely free for you to consume. And I also have no shame myself in spamming this to my entire medical school listserv. I don't know about, you know, other medical schools, but we have a singular listserv, and even actually out to other people wider in our health system, and sending this out as a link, as a free download, you know, being able to say, hey, look, if you have any interest in lifestyle medicine, in integrative medicine, want to just learn more, check this resource out. You're probably going to find something here that that you enjoy. So starting with, you know, emails, and then, you know, I love the idea of, as a clinician, you know, having it as a gift to give to your patients and working together. You know, I myself, I really don't see a great need to make all of this, like, to feel like you have to make all this amazing content. There is so much out there, and I really don't need to reinvent the wheel. I'd rather spend some of my time, you know, maybe writing poetry or doing these other things. And so if I find people that are in alignment with my beliefs, I would want to send them, my patients, to those places and say, hey, read about, you know, what this diet or this approach from this individual. They're a really good resource. And so having it as a gift to give to your patients, so you can, you know, have it in person, highlighting, and then give it as an ebook so they have access to the links. But please, you know, any of your listservs, and or as part of you have an integrative functional medicine student group, or, you know, family medicine interest group, any sort of group, get together. You know, that's what we've been trying to do here. And we'll be starting in March with the Functional Forum, sending out another email inviting students to come, hey, let's watch the Functional Forum together. Let's just have a discussion. Let's hang out. Let's have some free food. But find maybe a specialty or interest group where you can share and talk about these things together.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, and we're going to make it available to all the meetup groups. We're going to encourage the meetup hosts to let people who are new to look at it. And it's going to be available at goevomed.com/functional-free. And we'll have it there and available. Check out in the show notes. You can find how to download it. Robert, thank you so much for being part of the podcast. This has actually been probably one of my favorite podcasts of all time, because I just feel like,
oh my gosh,
you know, we're reducing the barriers. You know, it's interesting when you get into like naturopathic medicine, their whole thing is like reducing the barriers to cure, right? Or eliminating the barriers to cure at different times. And I feel like for the medical system, right, there's different things that we need to remove the barriers in the same way. It's like the medical system's sick. Okay, let's remove the barriers. Like, everyone needs to know about lifestyle medicine, health care, and functional medicine. Everyone needs to know how to build a practice with it. And that way we can inject it into, you know, into communities all over the country and all over the world through physician entrepreneurship. So it's pretty exciting to, you know, to see this coming to fruition. And yeah, thank you for the hard work that you put into it. And, you know, I would just say to anyone else who's listening, like, there are things like this. You know, this is a great gift that you've given. You know, your gift, if you're listening to this, might not be something like this. It might be just showing up regularly at a meetup group. It might be just organizing the first meetup group. It might be making great introductions of people who could use each other's help. You know, there's so many things that we can do to help our fellow health professional, to help a fellow human being, and to strengthen the power of the community through these gifts and sharing stories. And so I'm really excited to see what the outcome of this gift is going to do at scale. So you can see in the age of the internet, it's easier to give out a free gift to like a million people than maybe, you know, a few years ago to give a physical gift to a million people. But let's see how this one goes. And yeah, we'll have all the details in the show notes. And we'll also put some details there on how you can get in touch with Robert if you're interested. And if you're a student, get in touch and see how we can get the word out, get this resource out to more people. Robert, it's been a pleasure having you on the Evolution of Medicine podcast.
No, thank you so much. It's really been a blessing. And I'm honored by some of the comments you've shared today, and look forward to continuing to work with you and hold this space for others. So thank you.
Awesome. Well, this has been the Evolution of Medicine podcast. I'm your host, James Maskell. We have been with Robert Abbott talking about how to get your functional medicine education for free. Check out goevomed.com/functionalfree, and you can download the resource today. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Evolution of Medicine. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Plus, consider giving us a 5-star rating in iTunes and telling your colleagues. If you want to be part of our movement to evolve medicine, go to goevomed.com, where you can download our simple prescription for a thriving practice. Until next time, thanks for your support, and keep building healthier communities every day. Remember, to change everything, we need everyone.